Hi, everybody. This is Nicole Johnson.
And this is Auntie Bear, but you can call me A Bear.
And this is our podcast, Enabled to Rise. Today, we are going to talk about how to have a more joy-filled life. So, joy, 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 joy. It seems to come natural when you're a child. When I was a kid, the worst thing could happen, and I would still be able to find joy. I don't know why. I think it's just a kid thing. And then the older I got, it seemed like I really had to do a conscious intention to it. In fact, when my sister suggested this podcast, and then I'm going to pass it over to her for her definition of joy, I was like, yeah, when I left my career, someone asked me, what do you do for joy? And I honestly couldn't answer them because my thing that I do for joy is doing for other people. Help see my kids smile, that brings me joy. See my husband like the chicken I cooked, that brought me joy. But what do I do that brings me joy? I was actually at a loss and I didn't really know what that was. So I started getting into jewelry. I just love jewelry and it gave me joy. So one of my psychic friends or intuitive friends just saw me doing a video on these little things that I make. I make these jewelry things. This is one I made for my girlfriend Sandra, who's retiring. I'm giving it to her at her retirement party this weekend. And I found joy by doing artwork. So that's how I discovered joy. And then my definition of joy, it's hard. Google gave me a definition. It said, hold on, the definition of joy, a feeling of great pleasure or happiness that comes from success, good fortune, and a sense of well-being. Gladness, something that gives joy. I actually want to challenge that definition because it's almost like it says external, like success defines your joy. Well, who's defining success? That's somebody else, right? Good fortune is defining success or joy. That's material. That's having a big house. That's having a car. I
And
want to say, or sense of well-being. That to me is what joy is.
well, sense of well-being comes from inside, and joy comes from inside. It's a vibration. It's one of our it's the vibrational level that we're putting out into the world, right? So it's the external stuff isn't what really brings us joy.
Yeah, I don't think I like Google's definition, Kari.
And you bring up a good point about you remember having joy when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And the thing about having children and kids is that they live in the present moment. They're not like floundering in the past or have expectations for the future. They're right here, right now, and so they can hold that joy, and they can hold the next feeling that comes up, and then it goes away, and the next feeling comes up, and it comes and goes. They're in the present moment, and being able to see the world through the eyes of a child, or inviting your magical child, because we talked about the magical child before, inviting your magical child into your space helps to open up and open you up to being able to bring in and feel the sense of joy. Another thing that I would use to define joy is awe. It's that sense of awe, which is what children have. Children are full of wonder and astonishment, and they're not afraid to play. They're not afraid to sing. They're out there exploring. They're experiencing. They're expressing themselves. They are in the miracle. They're in the mystery of being alive.
Oh, wow, I like that.
That's that feeling, that harmlessness and harmony with the experience of wonder of being human, or seeing the world with the eyes of the child, Right? It's having that awareness. And sometimes when I'm there a lot of the time, but not all the time. And so when I become aware that I am, there's just this, my energy is, my vibrational energy is really holding me down and weighing me down, I stop and just look at the environment around me. If I'm outside, you can look at the clear blue sky and you can get that sense of awe and amazement. Or looking at the beauty of a tree. Or now I have the convenience, or I don't like to use privilege, but I live in the woods. And so I'm surrounded by wildlife and trees and all kinds of wondrous things. But if even when I lived in the city, I mean, there's always the sky. I love watching the clouds, a sense of awe. Or sometimes you're walking along and you're really focused, and then I would see this plant growing up, or a tree, even a little tree growing up out of a crack, right? And I go, wow, isn't that amazing that that tree or that plant is thriving right now in this crack in the sidewalk, right? This sense of wonder, when I see a bird, or out here I see a lot of deer.
Oh, nice.
And the other day there was a deer walking by, and I stopped, right, walk right in front of me on the road, and we had that eye to eye connection, you know, and that brings me joy, that sense of awe, and realizing that it's not all about me, right? It's not about me that I share this world with all of these amazing things around me. And so it takes a lot of the pressure of sometimes when I'm holding that we all hold. This is an interesting time in life right now, and there's lots of pressures out there. But if I allow myself to be bogged down by all that pressure, I lose connection with my sense of joy. Right? And it's the sense of joy that creates my reality. It's what you put out there, your words, your actions, your thoughts are what you're going to get back to you. And so if I'm putting out seeds of joy, if I'm putting out the energy of joy, and then be open for whatever I'm going to attract back. It's that law of attraction, right? You attract what you're putting out there. So I remember mom would say to us, oh, I have to worry about you. I have to worry because that's the only way I know that you're going to be safe. And so she spent a lot of time in her life worrying. And then when she got older, she lived in fear. She was afraid to answer the door. She was afraid to she was afraid of people.
She lived her life what everybody else thought of her. So she was afraid of making a wrong step.
Right, but when she got older, I mean, one time I visited her I went to California. We met in out there in Daly City, and I went to her room, her hotel, which was right next to me, and I knocked on the door, and she was afraid to let me in. She was afraid. And any time that I spoke on her, she was afraid. And there's so much fear. And I'm not going to be that person. I'm not going to be afraid. And so I think that all of her life she was broadcasting fear. I mean, I've got to worry about you. I've got to do this right, and I've got to do that right, and I have to, just be this this monument of a person who can handle all of this and protect and through all of that fear that she was broadcasting, she in her older years was so afraid,
I don't think, well, she had joy with the theater, but I think when she lost the theater, sorry to, that kind of threw her for the loop because she didn't have theater. Like, theater to her is what jewelry did for me, I think. It gives us an outlet. Like, I can make jewelry till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and not even realize what time it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how you cultivate joy within yourself, right?
Yeah.
You have to have those breaks. I love cooking. I get so much joy out of cooking. And I also get joy out of being outside and walking through the woods.
Yeah, Matt and I went to a Polynesian festival yesterday, and it was free, and we just walked around. There was beautiful music, and it was on the bay, and it was raining off and on just a little bit, but it reminded us of Hawaii. And so we just laid down our sarong because the Hawaiian music was in the back. We could smell all the Hawaiian food or Polynesian food all around us. And we just laid on the sarong and looked up at the clouds and we pretended we were in Hawaii. It was so fun. We actually felt like we were there again because it was really humid. It was really humid yesterday in San Diego. And so it was like, we're back in Hawaii. And we like pretended like we were there. We could hear the waves and stuff. And that brought us a lot of joy. So much now that we have an RV that we were gonna get rid of. I think I talked him into once a month. I want it every Sunday, of course, but once a month, drive the RV down to the bay and just have a day at the beach. We could just lay and pretend like we're in Hawaii. I think I gave him a little sneak peek of joy, and he really liked it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think it's so easy for us to say, put our needs aside, right? And well, yeah, I want to do something that brings me joy, but I have all these other things I've got to do, right? And all these other needs that I need to meet. But if you don't take care of your own joy,
Yeah.
then how can you? How can you feed your kids with joy, right?
Yeah.
It's that mask, they gotta have that. You put your air mask on, oxygen mask on before you put the oxygen mask on the person next to you on the airplane. You've got to take care of yourself. And if you're not taking care of yourself, and if you're only bogged down, then that's the vibrational energy that you are going to attract back to yourself.
And that's
It's
what
a
he's been
train.
doing. That's what he's been doing because he's trying to get this product out. So he's been putting himself in a pressure cooker. And I told him, if you don't have one day that you get to look forward to doing something fun, then you're just going to burn yourself out. That was me. That was me. I was like on this hamster wheel for work, 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 work. And my joy, I'm going to be sad is the definition that Google gave me, success. Oh, I have a big paycheck. Ooh, I have to look smart. But then inside I wasn't joyful. It just was an external, yeah, my bank account was fat. I could buy all my friends, which literally I found out that's what I had been doing. Because now that I'm on a fixed budget, I can still go out, but I can't buy them their stuff. And they call me less.
Yeah,
And they
that's
try
sad.
to, yeah, because it would give me joy to be like, oh, I can pay for it. Don't worry about it.
You can't buy
No.
joy. No.
Yeah, it's short. Sure, for a minute you feel good. Oh, yeah, they look at you. Yeah, smile. And then the next time they call you, hey, you gonna buy again? That's not right. I was just going to say, have you ever gone through a difficult time and still managed to find joy? Because I'm struggling with that.
Yeah, I believe that joy is a choice. It's a choice. And if you desire to feel joy, then it'll always come back to you. And so in that, when I'm struggling, it's an awareness. It's okay to struggle. It's okay. That's how we learn in life. That's how we grow. You know, the getting through the feels, the deep feels and the struggles. And then having the awareness to remember that this is going on, and I want to feel joy, you know, and deciding to be happy no matter what, like small everyday decisions, right, will tune you into source. Because when you feel good, you know that the source inside of you, your spirit, is you're in alignment with source, right? But if you're not feeling good, then you're not in alignment. And so, I mean, there's a few things that you can do, but the which, yeah, I'll talk about in a little bit. But it's important to remember that if you're putting out that joy and it becomes the dominant, even little bits throughout the day, right? Just looking at the sky, finding sense of awe, finding a sense of being in the present moment is the only place that you can find joy. It becomes a dominant point of attraction, a vibrational hook. And that vibrational hook will pull more joyful things to you and with you. It's not about, sometimes I lose joy. You know, things are so heavy because I'm concerned about what people think, right? Or somebody says something and I take it personally. You know, I had somebody say something pretty harsh to me the other day. And I mean, it would have been so easy to take that personally. And instead, I found compassion for where they are at that moment. That when people say things, or sometimes that look, or and I think we talked about this before, it's about what's going on with them. You know, it's not mine. But what this did do is it helped open up this place inside of me. I said, something is triggered inside of me. What is it? What is this feeling? Because it hurt. It hurt. I didn't take the label and the words. It still hurt. I didn't take it on. It still hurt. And I realized that that was a place for growth, to really experience, well, about places where I lost my joy. And I gave away pieces of myself. As a kid.
They say when you're when someone says something to you and it hurts you, it's a mirror for something your soul wants you to learn. So like any time, and that's hard for me to absorb actually, because why would my higher self want to hurt me? But I think she's giving me little hurts so that I redirect so I don't get a big hurt. Maybe.
Well, and I think that it's not, I hear what you're saying about your that your spirit doesn't want to put things out there to hurt you,
Yeah.
right? Though I really truly believe that these things come up, very painful things can come up and come to us as opportunities for growth,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes, and it's hard to say and hard to feel, but sometimes you've got to go through that hurt and that pain, to find your way to grow spiritually. And it's when we don't, when we shut it down, when we say, no, I don't want to feel those things. So you put up all these boundaries. I don't want that because I don't want to feel this, and I can't do that because I don't want to get hurt, and oh my gosh, this might happen and that might happen. And you put so many blocks around you that you forget and lose the joy. You lose the happiness because you're so worried about something happening. It's okay to feel. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to cry.
Well, that
Right?
was me. When I had my career, I just was worried about my career forever. And like, oh, I got to make sure that captain likes me. Oh, I got to make sure I get that PowerPoint done. Oh, I got to make sure I get that deliverable done. And then when I came home, I had nothing left in the bank. I'd be like, why aren't your chores done? Why is this that, because I had given so much at work that it was a huge blessing when I walked away, because then I didn't have the external paycheck to give me love and joy. It got to be my family, and then they're like, "Oh, great, go get a job." But now my kids and I are great. Haley and I are now, she's my best friend, literally. And then Charlie and I are getting there, and then Matt and I are doing really good. So now joy is basically a priority. And then I also wanted to say, I didn't want to interrupt you. I went to a women's retreat and she was a therapist, and we were off our phone for 4 days because we were up in the hills and you actually wouldn't work. And then we were coming back to the airport and then my phone was blowing up. All this life stuff started happening. My dog was really sick and I was stressing out because I couldn't be there and I needed to make a decision on what to do with my dog. And the lady in the car, she said, "Where are your feet? Where are your feet?" F-E-E-T, feet. And I'm like, "Well, they're right here." And she's like, "Yeah, you're not in San Diego yet. That's the full wait." And I looked at her and I was like, "Oh, you're so right." And I just turned off the phone. I texted my husband. I'm like, "If the dog's in pain, I'm sure he'll make the right decision." And then I just kind of shut down and I just stayed in the present mode. And I knew he was there and he could handle it, but he just wanted, it was my dog, and it worked out, everything worked out. But you're right about staying present is the key, I think, honestly, of finding joy.
Yeah, and in that point, as you became present, you your feet on the ground. Where are you? What are you doing? Coming to your breath. And it might sound odd to say, now how can I feel joy when my dog is sick? What, and I know you feel
Yeah.
the way I feel. My dog is like my pets
Family.
are my family, how can I feel joy when this is happening? when something terrible is happening. And it's the little bits. It's the little bits of being able to pull yourself up into a higher vibrational vibration. It's that, okay, pull yourself out for a moment to say, just look at the beauty. Look at the beauty, in somebody's face, in somebody's eyes. Look at the beauty of what's around you, right? The
Like
music.
when we went back to Hawaii yesterday for 5 minutes, we just laid down and we were just looking. Yeah.
Exactly. It doesn't mean you don't care about the drama that's going on, right?
Right.
Whether it's drama or more than drama. It's about it's about staying centered and present as well.
I was gonna share, I just found it real quick. Can you see these notes right here?
I can.
Okay. So this was a Joe Dispenza, and this is what you've been talking about. So this is you, and he had a little stick figure, and this is the now. And he said, when you worry, and he had all these lines, like 1,000 lines going to the past, and each thing was something on this wheel, friends, CNN, email, text messages. If you're thinking about all of these things and you're worried about the past, it's because with the past is familiar and known. He says it robs you of the energy of now. So if you're always worried about, oh, I screwed up yesterday. Oh, I said something wrong yesterday. Oh, that person said something yesterday that hurt my feelings. Then what you're doing is you're giving your hardwiring, he says, each one of these lines get hardwired and it's neuroscience. And the more you think about the past, the more you beat yourself up, is what he said. And then you also worry about the future. You're like, oh, well, that jerk's going to say that to me again. My 16-year-old's going to not want to do chores again. My husband's going to not want to do the RV out again. You assume the assumptions. I assume, oh, my 16-year-old's going to be a jerk. And then it robs, and then it also, not only does it rob you of the today, it actually hardwires the worry for tomorrow. And that might have been what mom was stuck in. She was so worried about the past and so worried about the future, she hardwired it. And so I can't show you because he had it on a whiteboard, but what he did was, he said, every time you catch yourself worrying about the future, and I don't know if you can see my mouse moving, but anytime you worry about the future and you catch it, and you're like, that's not where I'm at now. I'm not going to worry about my husband not wanting to take the RV out in the future. It actually erases the hardwire of the future, and it actually hardwires, I can't do another line, it hardwires into you the now. So it actually, when you mentally say, no, I'm not going to worry about that, then it actually, so I'm going to stop share. But that was a thing I went to. Matt and I went to a 4-day retreat with Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he kept saying over and over and over again, when you keep thinking about the past and the future, you hardwire it, and then it keeps you from being in the present. So I almost think I need to remind myself every morning, with maybe a little voice recording of me pretending like I'm a little kid. Hey, Nikki, today's a good day. Who are you gonna be? I may be a Mickey Mouse voice or something. I don't know. Who are you gonna meet today? What great new adventures are you going to find? What beautiful cloud structure are you going to see? And then maybe if I remind myself that I can be 50 years old and still act like a kid. And it's fine because it's my life. And I honestly don't care what anybody thinks.
I can be 62 years old and still be a child. I let that child out every
I
day.
like that.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about the past and the past and the future. That's running away from the present. That's running away from what's going on now. 'Cause you know, you're running back to the future or you're getting lost in the past. But what's actually going on right now? And the future, when we remember the future, it's not exactly the way it was.
Oh,
The
yeah.
future is seen through our lenses are today, right? And the same with the future. If we worry about the future, that's what we're going to pull to us from in the future, right? But it's about being here, right now, in the present moment, where you have an appointment with life. You have an appointment with life right here, right now.
So I've been struggling with that because I've been trying to redefine my definition of something that happened to me in the past. So I was on Gaia yesterday. We were watching something. You can do that. You can actually change your childhood today, by looking at it differently. Like it could be, oh man, we grew up in low-income housing. We had to eat liver and onions. You know what I mean? Or you could be like, we had a mom that cooked for us. You know, it's a different way of looking at it.
It is. We're so programmed to look at what was wrong, right? Because I know I'm a little older than you, but the programming in me was that you had to be perfect. You had to do this just right. And when you got feedback from a teacher, it was mostly and te tests. It's like you did this wrong, you did that wrong. Instead of being graded and given the focus of, you know, what's right. And that's the way I look at feedback now. If I'm going to give someone feedback, I start with what I liked, you know, and what
Yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, what I liked. You did this great, you know, and so it what that did is that fed into our programming of only focus on what we didn't like, as opposed to remembering what the beauty, you know, what went right. So much in the past has gone right,
Yeah.
but only look at it as we tend, not only, but we tend to remember what went wrong.
So Joseph McLennan has this thing called the stop method, and it's because people always tend to focus on the negative. We do 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 do, we cruise it down the road, do 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 do, and then all of a sudden, oh man. You're gonna miss that stop sign like you did before, like a negative thing hits you, and then oh yeah, you're always missing stop signs. Oh yeah, your mom said you're a bad driver. Oh, your husband's right. So he has this thing called it's a stop method, and you remind yourself once an hour. He says put a thing on your phone, a reminder, and he actually has you think of a bad thought just for a second. I'm not good enough, but then he has you do three things. One, you recognize that you're having a bad thought. Recognize it right now. Oh shit, that's a bad thought. And you yell, stop. And you like make a my move is my arm move. And you yell, stop. And then you have to have a good thing already in your brain that you want to say. My thing is that I'm not good enough. And then my good thing is I'm freaking awesome. Like I do whatever I set my mind to, I make happen. And so this exercise called stop is once an hour, you remind yourself to practice it and you let a little negative thought come in. I'm not good enough. But then you finish it with, stop. I'm a badass. I can do whatever I want. And then you're supposed to like celebrate, physically pat yourself on the back. It's kind of complicated, but once you do it a few times, it comes like second nature. So bad thought comes, no, I'm a badass. Stop. Thank you. Good job, Nicole. You killed the monster when it was a baby because the thought starts as one little thought, and then you'll like, oh yeah, you did that before. Oh yeah, they said that. Oh yeah. And then this big snowball, which is one little teeny thought. You almost missed a stop sign. Big deal. You're human. But then it like grows into this big snowball, and now it's a snowman. So his thing is called the stop method. As soon as that negative thought comes up, you say stop. And then you say the reverse. But then he says you have to physically, good job, Nicole. You killed the monster while it was a baby. And then do a little happy dance and then keep it moving. And when I did it, and like I'm gonna put a reminder on my phone right now, whoever anybody's watching, that's how you're gonna remember, is I'm gonna put a little reminder on my phone. Every hour, it's going to be a repeated thing to remind myself of how much of a badass I am. And then what will happen is it becomes almost like a habit, like brushing your teeth, habit. When a negative thought comes, I'll be walking down the street. Literally, my hand just comes out. I'm like, what the heck? Because my body's on autopilot. It'll be like, stop. Quit saying that to yourself. Good job. Keep it moving. And I can take credit for it. It's Joseph McClendon the third stop method. And then you can find him on Instagram, JM McClendon.
And yeah.
Stop method.
So what I find is really helpful when I need to bring joy back into my present moment is mindful breathing. And 1, 2, 3, even 4 minutes of just mindful breathing. And it's just stopping and being in the present moment, and you breathe in and out, and you can breathe in. You can stop for a moment and breathe in calm, and then bring out and smile.
Now, do you imagine anything negative leaving when you breathe out? Or I've also heard people don't like to imagine negative things are in them, so they don't like that idea.
I believe that both positive and negative are necessary to find balance. So it's not about villainizing what's negative. It's about finding out how that brings you into balance. What is it? What part of that is, what is that? That, 'cause if the negative goes out of balance, that's not good. But it's also too much light is not good. So too much positive. It's about that balance. So if I'm going to like do something like that, like breathe in, breathe in fear. And I'm going to transmute it and breathe out calm, right? So I'm not, yeah, it's not about, for me, it's not about negative and positive. It's about reminding myself to come to just come into the present moment. And that breathing out and smiling. When I smile, when I truly smile, and my eyes are smiling, my heart opens up, and I'm in joy and I'm in awe. So breathing in love, and breathing out joy, or breathing in, here's a good one. Thich Nhat Hanh talks a lot about that. Who he has passed away, but he is a Buddhist monk, a Vietnamese Buddhist monk, and he has wonderful information about joy and being in the present moment. He says, "Breathe in. I'm a flower." Breathe out. I'm fresh. And just breathing in and just focusing on the breathing in and breathing out returns you to a place of peace, returns you to a place of joy, returns you to a place of awe. And when you breathe out, I hate this about Zoom. It does this weird thing. I'm not doing it.
No, I figured, yeah.
And it when you and it helps me to smile. When I breathe out, smile. And when I smile, you were asking me what's something that I do. And that's one thing, is I just get to the present moment, breathe in and out to become present, and then I smile. And I do that when I pray too. I do it, I go into prayer with a smile. And when I smile, my prayers come out of my heart because it just opens up. And then my prayers are of love. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So 1, 2, 3 minutes of just breathing in calm, breathing out, I smile.
I like that.
You know, your mind is like, it's like a pond, an alpine pond. That's calm. When it's calm, it's reflective, and it reflecting everything perfectly. And so when you're calm, your mind is reflecting what's going around you clearly. Now, when you throw something into the water, or the wind comes up and it stirs up the water, it gets all distorted, and like the ocean with the waves, but it gets all distorted. But in time, it settles down. And when it settles, you're back to calmness and stillness. And remembering that coming back to that calmness means that what's going on will be easier to deal with, because you're coming from a calm and still place, being able to see it and see the situation more clearly, as opposed to coming from, all this
Chaos.
chaos. Exactly. Yeah. So.
Someone on Gaia was saying that water has a lot of properties to it. It can actually have memories or something. And so, what I started doing is before I drink a glass of water, I will imbue joy into it. And I just do it with my hands. It's not like I'm some, shaman. Well, maybe I am. But I just imagine we have a filter at home. I just imagine it going through a joy filter or a love filter. And then I have, when I'm really down, I've gone actually outside and held the water in my hand and then just like ask Gaia to bring in love into the water. And I just imagine that the water's being imbued with God's love or the divine's love or Gaia's love. Somehow I'm putting love in the water. And then when I drink it with intention. And I thank Gaia for this joy-filled, blessed water. And I imagine when I swallow it, like you can almost, if especially if it's cold water, you can almost feel it go down your esophagus and go into your belly, especially if you drink it fast. So that's something I do too, is if I need to be more present, I'll imagine the water that I'm drinking is almost like a joy elixir.
I believe that water is consciousness, and everything, is connected with water. We are connected with water. We are mostly water.
Yeah, nice.
Water connects us all in so many different ways. And I've started blessing the water before I drink it.
Yeah.
And if everybody and more people did that,
Yes.
then we're imbibing that blessing, that joy, that peace,
I like
that
that.
source, that connection to source.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, we've covered a lot. I have 2 pages of notes. As a kid, kids are present moment. They invite a magical child, a sense of awe. I love that. Mystery of being alive. When weighed down, look at nature. Look at the beauty of a tree or a crack of a tree. Oh, I did want to share, when we were in Hawaii, this miles and miles and miles of lava, because we were on the Big Island, and trees were growing up in the cracks. So that when you were talking about how a tree can grow in a crack, like legit, a tree grew in lava, you know? And then we talked about when we're all bogged down, joy is a choice. You can decide to be happy. Being present is a vibrational hook. And then we were programmed. Some people could have been programmed to identify what was wrong. And I think maybe mom showed us what that looked like and how we don't want that, you know? Maybe she was a walking example for us. I wonder. Okay, with 5 ideas, lots of ideas that you gleaned, but I just wrote down 4. The stop method from Joseph. Once an hour, just remind yourself when something negative comes out, just stop it. The mindful breathing, in, calm, out with a smile. And then I wrote down Tin Nong Ha. I don't know if I said his name right.
I'll spell that for you.
Yeah.
It is THICH, next word, NHAT, and the last is HANH.
Oh,
Tick,
well, yeah. Okay.
And
Joy is present. Yeah.
he's got some really good books out there as well. You can find him, find a lot of stuff on him on YouTube and other places. But one book that he wrote that I highly recommend is Peace is Every Step.
Oh, I
I
like
believe
that.
that's what it's called. But look him up and you'll find the book. It's if it's not that, it's very similar to that. Peace is
Perfect. I can Google and put it in the write-up. And then we just had an idea of joy-filled water, just mindfully eating, mindfully drinking. This food's going to bring me joy. This water's going to bring me joy. This walk is going to bring me joy. Or actually, joy's already there. I'm walking in joy.
I'm walking
I'm
exactly.
walking in joy, not because words have power, right?
That's right.
If you say I'm going to walk into joy, then it's implied you're not in joy now. I like that. I like that a lot. Do you have anything you want to say before we wrap up?
Just, have a joyful day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joy is a decision. Stay in the present moment and find the joy. This was Nicole Johnson and Abair, and we just want to remind you, everybody's enabled to rise. You just have to stand. We got this. I want to stop recording.